Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats.
You know, someone smarter than me once told me that music makes the world go round, and that's why it's so important to keep looking for new stuff. And guess what? If you're within the sound of my voice, that must mean you're in the seats with Once More. As always, my name is Dave Voigt, and I'm the host of this podcast, where we sit down with a wide-ranging variety of entertainment industry professionals, and we pick their brain about current projects, state of the industry, how they got started, and so very much more, in a light and in a conversational fashion. And you know, if you like how we do things around here, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that you do, because let's face it, you're listening right now. And if you are listening, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button, mash the like, give us the old 5-star rating on your podcast provider of choice. We're available pretty much everywhere, places like Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google. And plus, we archive every single one of our episodes over at our In the Seats YouTube channel, so you can give us a like and subscribe there as well. We would absolutely appreciate it. Also, don't hesitate to check us out on social media. We're on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Letterboxd, the TikTok, the Threads, and probably a few other places that I keep forgetting about. At In the Seats, for all sorts of fun updates. And finally, and I do dare say most importantly, please pay us a visit over at In the Seats, intheseats.ca, for all the latest and greatest from the world of film, television, basically the moving image at large. Because guess what? If we love to watch it and write about it and talk about it, we love it even more when you come by and read about it and listen about it. So please do us that kindness and come on down and pay us a visit. On this very special episode, boys and girls, we got a good one. It is a brand new documentary show that is airing on TVO right now. It's called New World Beat, and it's a musical doc series that is highlighting some of the more fearless and fascinating musical artists in the Toronto music scene as they present their story and songs in an environment that reflects who they are. And it's got interviews, live performances with a fantastic group of really wide-ranging and diverse artists. It's, if you love your music, and if you love Toronto music, like if, you know, as much as I love going to big concerts sometimes it's nice to go to the smaller clubs, and I mean, that's where you find artists like these. And this was really a great, great series for that. And we had the unique pleasure of sitting down with the showrunner of the entire series, one only Michael Tobin, to ask about the origins of the series and everything therein. But like I said, check your listings over at TVO for New World Beat, which is rolling out its new episodes, but also not only airing, but they're dropping them digitally as well. So you can watch them however you want to watch them. That is the beautiful thing about the modern age. But like I said, check out New World Beat either on TVO or go visit TVO.ca. But first, enjoy our talk with Michael Tobin, because between you and me, it's a pretty darn good one.
Kids, so I'm a little sleep deprived.
Oh geez, oh my god, okay. But then I will be snappy and upbeat then for you, just to keep you awake. But I mean, obviously thank you for the time, man. But I mean, congrats on the show, man. I found it really fascinating, man. It's a hell of a piece of work.
I really appreciate that. Thanks for watching it.
No, I mean, I guess my first question is, like, what was sort of the impetus? What was the kickoff? What made you want to do this or tell these stories?
I used to be a musician back in the day for a long time. That's what I studied in university. I have been gigging forever, especially in the Toronto music scene. And I remember every time I play a show, I would think whoever I was sharing a bill with, I thought, God, these guys are just so goddamn good and so interesting. They deserve their own documentary. And I just organically kind of shifted a career from music into film, which is a whole other story that involves going on tour with another band, and the label asked us to do some tour footage. That tour footage turned into a music video, which turned into another music video, which turned into commercial work, which turned into television, and here we are. And so even though I've always been doing the film stuff, I always have one foot in music, and the music scene specifically in Toronto. And these are a lot of them are my good friends. Some of them are people that I've just sort of revered from afar for a while. Some people that I've sort of bumped shoulders with at a party here and there. And so I randomly got a job as a lead editor on a television show in 2019, I think it is. And it was like a reality competition show. They were going to do a season 2. The director, I don't know what happened to him. He left. They asked me to step in the role to be the director for a music competition show. And I said, I have an idea, which I think might be a lot more meaningful and special and, just urgent. And this is now we're heading into the pandemic, and which is an interesting time, to say the least,
Oh God.
for musicians, which is brutal, like, so everyone, all these are my friends, and they were going through the toughest time ever. And here I had an opportunity to potentially pitch my dream show, which is to shine a light on specific artists within the scene. And, to my delight, this production company greenlit it. They sort of shifted gears. They said, okay, we're not going to do this reality show. We'll do the show that Mike Tobin wants to attempt. And it was awesome. And I just kind of built it brick by brick. I signed on a series producer who's also a dear friend, Matt Grayson, who's really experienced a producer. And we both just kind of pooled all our resources, one day at a time, and we got the show.
No, I mean, I guess that begs the next question. Like, how do you like when you're assembling something like this? Because I mean, the Toronto music scene is not a small one. It's pretty big. Like, how do you par it all down? How do you really kind of get down to the okay, these are the stories we want to tell? Because I mean, I could imagine you could probably do three or four different series on top of the one the six you've already done, you know?
Totally. It's a good question. And also, I guess I should address that idea of the music scene. Singular itself is kind of a misnomer. This city is so big, there are multiple scenes. For all intents and purposes, the way that I like to kind of conceive the show is that the city itself is a character which holds, one big greater scene. But it was our responsibility to go to all these pockets all over the GTA and find people making music. And all of these musicians kind of were a reflection of their various environments, whether it was kind of like the Dundas West scene or the Queen West scene or St. Clair and Oakwood or all over the place. Usually their music was directly related to either where they grew up or where they were living now, which was incredibly interesting.
Was everyone like all of your subjects, all the artists, was everyone kind of on board? Because I mean, I can imagine on one end, I mean, for an artist who's struggling and trying to get noticed, like there is an attraction to sort of the competition thing, but at least this way, it felt a little bit more honest and organic rather than trying to sort of force your best foot forward.
I think me even telling them when I first approached any of these given artists, one of the first things I said was that the show was supposed to be a competition show, but competition within the arts and within music is kind of anathema to me.
Yeah,
And
I agree.
telling them that, I think, was the hook, which is like, okay, this isn't a competition. This isn't about who's the best, who's the worst, who's whatever. It's about the tapestry that is our city and that is the music scene within the city. And I think that got people like really, really stoked.
The stories are so diverse, and I mean, and so unique, and I mean, even like you mentioned with the pandemic, like I think of, like July Talk and what they did, but I mean, it's not everyone can do that. And I mean, I'm kind of curious in talking with everyone, it really felt like we got a sense of the need, like how, I guess, aware artists were for the need for innovation, like sort of on a
Unbelievable.
daily, if not hourly basis.
I know. I mean, there's when it's crazy, right? When you were talking about what that question about the pandemic, July Talk, it brought back so many memories where it's not something that we, included or focused on so much within the final cuts because we wanted it to end up being sort of timeless and not so much
Right.
just time capsule. That being said, I have so many personal memories of each and every single artist. Who either, gave us an anecdote about the trials and tribulations of the pandemic, or it was happening in real time. I'll give you a quick story where in the first episode, there is this like unbelievable composer named Mingjia Chen. She's wild. And she was telling us that she hadn't played, let alone seen a grand piano in 2.5 years. And she's a composer and a pianist and a multi-instrumentalist and arranger. And our shoot was the first time she saw and played a grand piano. And we actually captured the moment where she sat down and she took this deep breath and she plunked her hand down. And it was like the most unbelievable experience I've had in a long time, where just the weight of one finger on one key hitting one tone of a piano was way more powerful than a baseball bat to the chest. And it was those kind of moments. The whole show was kind of like a collection of those moments behind the scenes. And that's sort of the electricity that's kind of baked into the show that goes unspoken.
No, it's that power of the art that, we can appreciate it, we can love it, we can dance to it, we can groove to it, but just to be able to see, I guess the power of creation almost is probably the best way to put it. Now, I mean, I'm curious, as you were doing all of this, I mean, is there anything that caught you off guard? Because like you said, you're a musician, but you're working in the film world now. I can imagine diving into all these stories, like, were there a lot of similarities or were there not a lot of similarities? Like, what was the thing that maybe kind of stood out for you?
We made sure that there, on one hand, was no similarities between artists because, there were 18 people that we featured in the show, but we interviewed like 50, 60, 70 people. Like we interviewed a lot of people. And within the interview process, it wasn't just the prerequisite of being a great musician. It was, do you have a great story? And do you have a unique point of view that you can actually communicate? That's a hard thing, and that's a hard sell. So all the people that we included have all of those things. And so basically, the way that I was kind of approaching each story, as it were, is to find an artist who had some version of a struggle or a tension, and then us as a production able to usher them towards some version of a catharsis. The pandemic was kind of the perfect thing to catalyze that because everyone was holed up, no matter what their story was. They were holed up in their apartments and their basements and their parents' houses. And our shows and our sets and the times where we filmed these people was often the first time that they got to not only play, which was incredibly powerful, but also just speak to another human in the same room. It's these tiny things that go for granted, that we take for granted, that just felt so appreciated and so visceral in the moment.
Now, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm just trying to reflect back because I only watched the first two episodes, but I mean, I absolutely loved it. And it was one of those things where I appreciated just the power of, I guess, not stopping or not giving up. And I mean, that really feels like such an important message to get out there to artists and artistry, because I mean, there is so much based on success. I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that to make it. But in reality, there is a reality to the fact that if you haven't given up to a degree, you've already made it.
100%. A lot of the things that I think about when it comes to art is the things that these artists were talking about as well, which is that it's not about making it and not making it. It's about living the art life. It's about getting up every day, going for a walk, and being totally activated by everything around you, then going home in the afternoon or in the evening, and writing just every single day a little bit. And if you're living that art life, then you have succeeded. And if you are communing with other musicians and other artists, if you are jamming, if you are playing, and if you're rehearsing, you're succeeding. And so that was kind of one of the things that I subtly wanted to show in the television series as well, which is that this is the opposite of a competition. Competitions in art are dumb.
They
This is
are. No, I
not that.
agree with you. I agree.
This is about people coming together who have really interesting and unique points of view and who play like really, really great music live off the floor, by the way, and giving the viewer a front row seat into an authentic tour of the Toronto music scene, but also the city itself.
No, I mean, I'm curious. Are you living that art life? Because I mean, transitioning from musician to documentarian showrunner, there's obviously you're still in the arts world, but it's not necessarily as adjacent as people may think in terms of, getting your creative juices going.
Man, I gotta tell you, I write every single day.
Love it.
That is just what I do. I write short films, and I've just finished my first feature and all these things. But not more importantly, but also, I play music every single day. Why? Because I have a 3-year-old, and we play and we sing, and it is just as beautiful and just as pure as playing at the Horseshoe Tavern or the Rivoli or the Dakota or the Transact. It is unbelievable to get to play music with a 3-year-old and my wife, and now my 2-week-old. It's in the house every single day, and nothing is more life-affirming than making art with a little being who has no skin in the game. There's no career. It's just doing it for the sake of doing it. And it reminds me every day why I love what I do.
And it gets back to that purity too, because I mean, at the end of the day, if you can hold on to that, that's where the really beautiful stuff comes from. And I mean, just at the end of the day, I think with this show, I think a lot of people, when they get to see it, are going to be sort of taken aback by it. Because again, when I watched it, it was one of those things where I just was able to sort of sit with the moment of appreciating the fact that I can do this to a certain degree, and I'm living that art life, and being able to see other people do that and be fulfilled is a fantastic and beautiful and positive thing. And I mean, I'm glad it's going out there in the world, man. But I mean, just to put a bow on this, for you, as more and more people get to see this show, like, is there a hope, a dream for sort of that one pull away, or is it just like we've been saying, just to kind of get it out there and to share it with the world?
Okay, there's a couple things. One is it's a reminder to everyone, like if we just talk about Canada for a second, is that even though, yes, we're focusing on Toronto, I want everyone outside of this big city to know that they can do it too. You do not have to be in the biggest city in the world to play music every day, to find like-minded individuals. Find the basement of your church and like put on a show. You can do it. It doesn't matter if you're in Saskatchewan or if you're in Northwest Territories or Toronto, like you can do it. And that's what I kind of want to inspire all the viewers to watch. And then, the other thing, my great grand hope is that I always saw this show as okay, like if we were able to do New World Beat Toronto, what's stopping us from doing New World Beat Sao Paulo and Chicago and Washington and Timmins and Ingersoll? And no matter how big or how small these places, it's like we just want to take our little ragtag documentary crew all over the world and find these people who are making unbelievable art and who have something to say, and furthermore, be able to talk about it in a nuanced way. Beyond the performances themselves, to us, there's something incredibly special and, dare I say, radical about two musicians talking face to face about their art and about just art in general. You don't get to hear it that often in long form. Often you'll hear, 2-minute, 3-minute sound bites. These are people talking for like 45 minutes about like real ass stuff. And I think that also gets people fired up.
No, and I mean, it gets me fired up. And I mean, you're absolutely right too, because as much as we can have these conversations in big cities like, Toronto, Chicago, São Paulo, whatever, you're right. They can happen in Timmins too. And why the hell not?
Yeah, no, and they should.
No, you're absolutely right, man. But I mean, good luck. But it's just, again, I know it's dropping, well, imminently. But I can't wait for everyone to see it, man. Just again, congrats on the work, and try to get a little bit of sleep, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate it, man.
And don't forget to visit our friends over at Bay Street Video for all your DVD, Blu-ray rental or purchasing needs this summer, as they are still open for curbside and some mailing delivery as well. Over at 1172 Bay Street, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, you can give them a call at 416-964-9088. That's 416-964-9088. Or send them an email at baystreetvideoto@gmail.com for any of your DVD and Blu-ray needs.